Okay, good morning everybody. Today's daf is Psachim Daf Vav. We left off on the bottom of daf. Hey Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom of the page. Ha Nicha L'Mad Yamar. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and also anonymously L'Zchus Refuah Shleima for Yehoshua Aaron Ben Rachel Yishlach Refuah Shleima B'Soch Shar Chol Yisrael. We thank both sponsors very much for the sponsorship. What we're going to discuss in today's daf is, first, we made a distinction at the very end of yesterday's shir between when one is mekabel achrayus on chametz and when one is not mekabel achrayus. You have other people's chametz in your house, it is a violation if you're mekabel achrayus for that chametz. So the Gemara is going to discuss the connection between that and the principle of davar agorim lamamon kim mamon dami. Then the Gemara is going to discuss whether animals or dough that is designated for paying a tax to a king is considered to belong to the Jew, or is it considered to belong to the king? And that has ramifications for the chiyuv of Bechor and for the chiyuv of Hafrashas Chala, because if it belongs to a non-Jew, then it's not chayiv in Bechor, it's not chayiv in Hafrashas Chala. Then we're going to talk about situations in which a Jew is responsible for chametz that belongs to a non-Jew. And then on the bottom of Amud Aleph, we're going to learn the halacha that you only have to start concerning yourself with halachos of chametz within 30 days of Pesach. And that, of course, leads to a discussion of how long before Yom Tov one has to start learning the halachos of that Yom Tov, whether it's Shloshim Yom or whether it's only 2 weeks, and what the sources are in the Torah for each of those ideas. And that's going to lead us into a brief discussion about the Seder Advarim in the Torah, Ein Muktam U'Me'uchar B'Torah. And then at the very end of the daf, we're going to have a discussion of why it is that somebody who's done Bedikas Chametz still has to do Bittul Chametz. Why isn't Bedika and Biur alone enough if it takes care of all of the chametz? So let's begin again, three lines from the bottom of the page on daf Hey Amud Beis. So the Gemara just got through saying how Rava used to warn the Bnei Machuza that they have to make sure to get rid of the chametz that was reserved for the king's armies from their home, because they're responsible for it. And anytime you're responsible for it, anytime you have achrayus for it, that's considered that it's yours. So says Marhani, that works very well if you assume that anything that will cause you to be responsible to pay for it if it were to get lost, that's considered that it's your own money. What's the context? Where do we have a machlokas about davar agorim lamamon kamamon dami? So Rashi points to Maseches Baba Kama, daf ayin aleph and beis, kachim shechayiv ba'achriyusan, where we discuss whether the halacha of karbanos, that if they were to get stolen, if they were to get lost, whether you'd be chayiv in the achrayus of those karbanos. Meaning, if someone steals kachim is Beach. So the halacha is that the halacha is technically your potter from paying kefel or tishlumei arba v'chamisha, because the Torah tells us v'gonev mi beis ha'ish. So we darshan mi beis ha'ish v'lo mi beis hegdish. If you steal from hegdish, you're not going to be chayiv kefel. You're not going to be chayiv dalid v'hei. But Rabbi Shimon says that if they're kachim that you're chayiv b'achriyusam, if it's kachim that if it were to get stolen or to get lost, you would have to replace them with other karbanos, then the ganav is chayiv to pay kefil and he's chayiv to pay dalet vehei. Why? Because if you're chayiv b'achriyusam, then he didn't steal from Agdish, he stole from you. Then it's considered to be yours, even though it's mamon gavoa. But since their loss causes you a hefsin mamon, it's considered that he stole from you. And therefore, that is the shita of dover agorim lamamon kimamon dami. So you have machlokas, Tanakam and Rabbi Shimon, in that context, whether dover agorim l'mamon k'mamon dami, is it considered yours? So says the Gemara over here, if you say davar garm l'mamon is k'mamon dami, I understand very well why when I have achrayus for something, that's mine, and therefore it's a major problem if I have achrayus for chametz. El l'mandi amr lav k'mamon dami ma'ik l'meimor. But if you hold davar garm l'mamon is lav k'mamon dami, then why is it a problem that I have achrayus for someone else's chametz? It's not mine. So says the Gemara, shayni hachar damar lo yimatzei. You're right, the general rule is lav k'mamon dami, but that's why the Torah goes out of its way to tell me dafka by chametz lo yimatzei, that the geder of what's considered problematic in the world of chametz is different. Lo yimatzei tells me that even if it's not my chametz but I have achrayus for it, that I'm going to be chayiv. Ikada amri, others say no, the other way. That the conversation works in the reverse, that we said if you say lav kamamandami, now I understand why I need a pasuk of lo yimatzei to tell me that I'm responsible if I take achrayus for it. El mandi amar kimamun dami lo yimatzei lamali. But if yol davar garm lamamun is kimamun dami, so no matter where, what area of halacha we're talking about, whenever I'm responsible to replace the item, it's considered mine. What's the chiddush of lo yimatzei? I don't need the Torah to go out of its way to tell me lo yimatzei. Of course, it's considered mine if I'm responsible for it. Says Marno, it's trich. It's still needed. The Torah still needs to say lo yimatzei because salka dait chamina hol the kiise hoder beene lav birushuse kai kamash malan. That I might think that since if it were intact, I'd be able to return it as is. So therefore, it's not considered to be in his rishus kamash malan. That it's still considered to be in his rishus, and that he is in fact responsible for it. So by me name Rava. They asked the following shayla from Rava. Behemas arnuna chayavus bebuchora o ein chayavus bebuchora. If you have a behema where a certain percentage is supposed to go to the government, it's supposed to go to the non-Jewish king. So is that behema chayiv bechora? Bechora is one of the chafdalid matnos kahuna. You give it to the kohen is makrevit as a carbon, and he gets to eat the portions that he's allowed to eat. So your makrevit, one is only chayiv bechor. A bechor behema tahora becomes kadosh and is kadosh mirechem. One is only chayiv bechor though if it's owned by a Jew. That's why if you have a Jewish farmer in the Midwest or wherever Jewish farmers may be, and they have kosher animals, they always arrange a mechira when the animal gets pregnant, just like we do a mechiras chametz. So probably rabbis in other communities that are not in the New York area every once in a while have to arrange a mechiras bechor, that they have to make sure that there's at least a shutfus together with the nachri, so that they could avoid kedushas bechor, because we can't have animals that are kadosh walking around. We have no avenue through which to express that kedusha nowadays. We don't have the ability to be makrivit. So what about a behemar sanuna, where you're responsible to pay some percentage of the animal to the king? So now certainly if you're able to just pay it off with money, meaning you just have to do a cheshbon of how many animals you have, and so whatever that percentage is, you can just give in cash to the king, you don't have to give the animal itself, then everyone would agree it's chayiv and bechora, because it's just a matter of assessing. It's like an income tax, we're assessing how much you have, so based on how much you have in livestock, you're going to have to pay a certain amount of money to the king. But that's not the king's ownership of the animal itself. You're the sole owner of the animal. The whole shaila is, if you're not able to pay with money and you need to dafka pay with the animal, so now what's the din? So then it's going to be part of a mechor, because the king has ownership in it. But we have a braisa that says chayiv mechor. The braisa that says chayiv must be talking about a case where you're able to be mesalik lebezuzi, where you're able to pay cash instead of giving the animal itself. Ikata Amri, another version of the conversation, Zamar Rava Behemas Arnuna, Petura Mina Bechora, Veaval Gavdi Matzi Mesalikle. That it's going to be Pater from Bechor, even though you could pay cash in lieu of the animal itself. Isa Sarnuna, but a dough, where some percentage of the dough has to go to the king, Chayevas Bechala, is going to be chayiv in afrashos chala, even if you have to give part of the dough itself to the king, even though there's a shutfus. Halach over there also is if there's a shutfus with a guy in Israel in the dough, then there's no chayiv chala. See, even though you have to give the king part of that dough, still you're going to be chayiv in chala. So my timer, why the difference between a behema and a dough? By a behema, we're willing to say pater no matter what, even if you could pay him with money, and by the dough we're going to say chayiv even if you can't pay it with money. So answer Gemara, behema is leikala, isa less leikala. It's all about what people, what the perception that people will have, that a behema is leikala. It's something that that everyone will be aware of. Whereas an isa, a doe, no one is going to be aware that it was supposed to go to the king. Everyone's just going to see you with a doe, and therefore that doe is going to be chayiv and chala. But a behema, everyone's going to know that behema belongs partially to the king. So therefore, it's going to be Potter. Tan Rabbanan, Nachri shenichnas lechatzeru shel Yisrael betzeko biyado. A Nachri comes into Yisrael's chatzer carrying his sandwich. He's carrying his chametz with him. Ein zakul klevayer. You don't have to bring your blowtorch and blow it out of his hands, and right, you don't have to destroy the chametz that the Nachri brings into your property. Hifkido etzlo zakul klevayer. But if he gives it to you as a pikadon, meaning you're taking responsibility for it, this is that inyan of achrayus, that he leaves it to you as a pikadon, where you're a shomer now zakul klevayer. Avayr. Now you're going to have to destroy it because you have some level of ownership of it. Yichid lo bayis ein zakuk levayr. But if you don't take responsibility, you just say you want to keep it here. That room is your room. I'm renting you or I'm lending you that room, and you can do whatever you want in that room. It's none of my business. So then you don't have to destroy it because it's the guy's room, and he's just putting whatever he's putting in there. Shenemar lo yimatzei, because the pasuk says lo yimatzei. Now the trick over here is shenemar lo yimatzei is going. We just said three halachas. We said that if he walks into your house with a sandwich, you don't have to destroy it. We said that if he gives it as a pikadon, you do have to destroy it. We said if yichid lo bayis, you don't have to destroy it. Lo yimatzei. Which halacha does lo yimatzei teach? So my ka'amar, amar of papa aresha ka'i, that it's going on the first the resha, which means the second of the three halachas. V'hachi kamar, what it's saying is hifkido etzlo zakuk levayir shenemar lo yimatzei, meaning the only halacha that was telling us that there's an iser has to be what the lo yimatzei is going on, because the first halacha was no problem, don't worry about the sandwich that he's bringing into your house. Third halacha is yichid lo bayis, no problem. Lo yimatzei must be telling me yes, a problem, because it's saying lo yimatzei that you have a problem. So it must be going on halacha number two that if hifkido etzlo then zakuk levayir. Ravashi amar no, liolama seifa kai, it's going on halacha number three, where if you're yichid lo bayis, that if you designate a room, then it's not a problem. I, how could the pasuk of lo yimatzei tell me that it's not a problem? So achikamar, yichid lo bayis, ein zakuk levayir, shnemar, you just have to read one word further in the pasuk, shnemar, lo yimatzei bivateichem, that the issue of lo yimatzei is only when it's bivateichem, but if you're miyachid amakum for him, then that's not your house anymore. You're miyachid amakum for the guy to keep his stuff. It's not yours. When the Nachri brings it into the house, he's bringing it into his own house. So says, well, really? It's his own house? Why? Because you're renting him a room in your house. That makes it his. Lememra de Schirus Kanya? Do we mean to therefore suggest that Schirus is an actual Kinyan, that it becomes the Rishus of the Socher? Vatnan, we have a Mishnah that tells us otherwise. The Mishnah, the Mesech Savod Zara tells us that Af B'makum Shomer Lahaskir Lo Lebeis Tira Amru V'mbreisha Mechnisin L'tocha Of De'Gelulim, that even in a place where you're going to rent a home to an Ovid Avod Zara, do not rent it as a home, I mean you can rent them storage facilities or something else, but not a home, because they will bring Avod Zara into that house, and that is your problem if you're renting him a home and he's bringing Avod Zara into the house that you're renting to him. But if you can say Schirus Kanya, as soon as the guy rents it from you, it's his, it's not yours. Why is that your problem that he's bringing Avod Zara into the house? It's not your house. So answers Gemara, no. Shiny hacha da afke rachmana balashon lo yimatzei. Generally, you're right. Schirus is lo kanya, and therefore it remains your problem. But specifically, when it comes to chametz, pasuk says lo yimatzei misha matzu biyadcha yatzu zeh she'eno matzu biyadcha. The word yimatzei is actually a kula, that it's telling me that it's only a problem when it's matzu biyadcha. But if it's not matzu biyadcha, it's not going to be a problem. So when I rent out that property, even though the guy doesn't really own it, because schirus is not really kanya, but it's not matzu biyadcha, it's not matzu biyadi, and therefore I don't have a problem. Amar Avidam Rav, hamotzi chametz bebeisu b'yom tov, if a person finds chametz in his house on Yom Tov, so kofal of is a kli. You have to take the kli and you cover the chametz with the kli. That's on Yom Tov. Chalamoid, you would burn it, but on Yom Tov where you can't destroy it. So what do? If you're not able to burn the chametz, you can't start a fire. Let's say on Yom Tov. Let's say you don't have a fire, so you're not able to burn the chametz. So kofal of is a kli. You take a kli and you cover the chametz. Amar Rava im shal hegdishu. That if it's hegdish, then you don't need to be kofal of his kli. You can just leave it be. You can leave it as is. What? You have a donut over there, and you have a hegdish piece of chametz, and you're just going to leave it out there? So he says, well, yeah, my time up, because mivdo b'dilimine. The reason is that you never are allowed to eat hegdish. You're never allowed to benefit from hegdish. So if you're used to having hegdish around your house, you're also used to not accessing that Hekdesh. So you don't need to set up extra reminders. It's something that you're very much accustomed to. Tosus points out, Kofel of Kli, he says, well, wait a second, there's a Shita Masechah Shabbos in Perikira that ain't Kli Nital, Ela L'davra Nital, that you're only allowed to be Metalta L'Kli on Shabbos if it's for the sake of a non-Muktzah item. But the Chametz is Muktzah now. So what do you mean? You're going to be Kofel of Kli? You're going to pick up another Kli just for the sake of the Chametz? The Chametz is Muktzah. How could you take a Kli, L'tzorich Davar, She'enu Nital? So Tos says, Ikele Ukmei B'tzorich L'makombo. Maybe we're talking about a Kli that anyway you had to pick up, meaning it was a Kli that was Tzorich L'makombo. Just like Kli Shemalach Delisri, you're allowed to be Metaltel, Tzorich Kufel, Tzorich Makombo. So if you were anyway allowed to pick up that Kli, so then once you have it in your hand, you can put it down wherever you want, just like the Halach is by Kli Shemalach Delisri. If it's in the way and you pick it up, you don't have to drop it as soon as it's out of the way. You can bring it to wherever you want to bring it and then put it down. So maybe it's Tzorich L'makombo. Inami says, that over here there's a counter concern that even though there are certain dinim of muktzah, it's true that we're careful not to be metaltel kelim and we follow very carefully the dinim of muktzah, but when there's a counter concern, then we have to take that into account as well. And the counter concern is that I'm going to come to violate achilas chametz on Pesach. That's pretty terrible. So it's worth violating the taking the kli l'tzorich davar she'enu nital, just like we just learned in the smichas chavrus here recently, just like you have such a halacha, let's say tefillin, right? It's a big machlokas aposkim. What are tefillin? They're muktzah on some level. Perhaps they're either a kli shemalachto leisur, that's the sheet of the Magen Avraham and the Taz, or it's a kli shemalachto leheter, that's the sheet of the Rama. Kli shemalachto leheter is not really muktzah. You're only not allowed to move it for no reason whatsoever, but you're allowed to move it to protect it. You're allowed to move it mechamel tzel, that kind of thing. But what if you hold it? Say Klisha Malachta Le'isr, so you're only allowed to move it L'tzorach Gufo, L'tzorach Makomo, but you don't need Gufo Makomo, you just want to protect it. You're not allowed to move a Klisha Malachta Le'isr to protect it, but it's tefillin, meaning it's outside. You davened at an outdoor minyan on Friday, and you left your tefillin on the table outside, and now the wind comes and blows the tent away, and it's about to come pouring rain all over it, right? Hechi Timtza, that would have been unimaginable 9 months ago, right? But now it's like, yeah, of course. So it's about to rain all over it, so that then it's to protect the tefillin. So that the poskim say, so then you're allowed to be metaltel it, even mechamel itself. I mean, you're not allowed to protect muksa items. Yeah, but when it's tefillin, you are, because you have no choice. Meaning, there's a counter concern over here. So Tosfos is such a similar idea that over here it's mutar because asi lemichle is a real concern. So anyway, says Gemara Vayta, V'amar Rav Yehuda Merav, chemtzel shel nachri asu lemechitza asar tefachim. If you have chametz of a nachri in your rishos, build a mechitza of 10 tefachim around it. Mishum hacker, that's a hacker that you'll know not to touch it. Vim shal hagdishu, enu tzarech. But if it's chametz of hagdish, you don't need a mechitza of asar tefachim. My taima, mivdil bedili in shiminei, because people know to stay away from that which is hagdish. Vam ravidom rav, ham farish vayotze b'sheor, kodim shoshim yom, ein zakuk levari. If a person goes out on a trip, he goes on a caravan to travel somewhere, so if it's more than 30 days before Pesach, he does not have to destroy his chametz in advance. Tok shoshim yom zakuk levar. If it's within 30 days of Pesach, he does need to destroy the chametz. Amar Abaye, so Abaye qualifies this. Hadamar tok shoshim yom zakuk levar lo amar el shadai talachzar. When we say that within 30 days you need to destroy the chametz, that's only if you intend on returning. Avol ein dai talachzar. But if you don't intend on returning, ein zakuk levar. Then you do not need to destroy the chametz even within 30 days. Daito Lachzer means during Machlok Shushon, but we'll assume during Pesach. That if you're going to come back a week before Pesach, so then you'll take care of it then. But it means you're going to come back on Pesach. So if your plan is that you might come back on Pesach, so, and you leave within 30 days, then you need to get rid of the Chametz. But if you don't plan on coming back on Pesach, then you don't need to get rid of the Chametz. So Amalei Rava. Rava says, wait a second. Vi Daito Lachzer, if you plan on coming back on Pesach, why do I care that you're leaving 2 months in advance? I feel I'm Rosh Hashanah Nami. If I leave on Rosh Hashanah, but I know that I'm returning, let's say I have an apartment in Florida or something, and I was there for Rosh Hashanah, and I plan on not coming back until Pesach time. So if I know that I'm coming back, Cholomoy Pesach, I'm returning to that apartment, what does that mean? I'm allowed to leave chametz around in that apartment because I left more than 30 days in advance? That's crazy. That can't possibly be true. So it says, Mara Ella Marava, Hadam and Kodim Shal 30 yom ein zok levar lo amar al shein dai talachsa av dai talachsa fil marshana zok levar. Rava changes a little bit. That which we say more than 30 days you don't have to destroy the chametz, that's only if it's ein dai talachsa. But if dai talachsa, then even more than 30 days, even from Rosh Hashanah, even as far back as Rosh Hashanah, it would be zakuk levar. The Beis Yosef points out that it sounds that if you leave before Rosh Hashanah, then even if you plan on coming back on Pesach, that's not a problem. But that's difficult. Why would that be? Why is Rosh Hashanah a magical date over here? What does Rosh Hashanah have to do with anything? The point is you're going to return on Pesach and there's going to be chametz over there. So that's why the Beis Yosef explains a little differently. He says that when Rava says Afilim Rosh Hashanah, he doesn't mean Rosh Hashanah, what we call Rosh Hashanah in Tishrei. He means even from the beginning of the year, meaning last Pesach, meaning people always say if they, you know, they get together with certain family members on Pesach, or they go to a hotel and they see certain friends on Pesach, I'll see you next year. It's always, they always view it as a year, they count the years from Pesach. So it means that Rosh Hashanah, says Beis Yosef, in this context means from Pesach. It doesn't mean literally from Rosh Hashanah. And Beis Yosef says it seems that way from the Rif, the Rambam, and the Rush, because the Rif, the Rambam, and the Rush, when they quote this halacha, do not mention the word Rosh Hashanah. They don't mention those words Rosh Hashanah. The Bach writes like the Beis Yosef that even if you leave before Rosh Hashanah, you have to do Bedika. But as far as Rava, that Afilu Mir Hashanah, he says it doesn't mean Dafka Mir Hashanah, even before Rosh Hashanah, and that which the Beis Yosef says Rosh Hashanah is Tchilas Hashanah. He says Bach says I don't buy that. He says Rosh Hashanah is just an expression. It means even if you leave way, way in advance. So we picked the date. We picked Rosh Hashanah. So that's how the Bach deals with why it says Rosh Hashanah. Va'azah Rava l'tameh, and this is Rava l'shitaso, meaning this line of 30 days being what's going to distinguish for someone who doesn't plan on returning on Pesach. Does he need to get rid of his chametz if he's leaving within 30 days? That's dafka within 30 days. This is Rava l'shitaso. Dama Rava also beso otzer kodem shloshim yom ein zakuk levar. Rava said a similar thing, not about traveling, but if a person is turning his house into a storage facility, so the chametz is going to get covered up by whatever he's storing there. So if you do it before 30 days, then you don't have to get rid of the chametz. Tok shloshim yom zakuk levar. If it's within 30 days of Pesach, you do have to get rid of the chametz. Kodem shloshim yom lo amar el shein dai telefnos. So now, even if you turn it into a storage facility 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, 10 months before Pesach, but if you plan on clearing it out on Pesach and you're going to access the chametz again, that's still a problem. If your das is to be to clear out the warehouse, so then of course you have to get rid of the chametz even more than 30 days in advance. But when you don't have any such plans, then 30 days is the line. So says Gemara, where do we pick this number, 30 days? Does anywhere in the Torah that there's something about 30 days before Pesach that changes anything? So says Gemara, yes, Kedetanya. We have Halacha Sholem V'Darshin Bilchus HaPesach Kodem HaPesach Shloshim Yom. That 30 days is the time where we have to start thinking about Pesach. That's when we have to start being Sholem V'Darshin. That's when we start learning the Halachos of Pesach 30 days in advance of Pesach. The famous Kasha, the Beis Yosef, in this context, you can't say around Chanukah time, the famous Kasha, the Beis Yosef. People think about another Kasha. The Kasha, the Beis Yosef, in this context, about Sholem V'Darshin Bilchus HaPesach Kodem HaPesach Shloshim Yom, is Beis Yosef points out that the Gemara at the very end of Sechas Megillah says that we're shoel in that Moshe Rabbeinu was misakin for Klal Yisrael, that we should be shoel Hilchos Chag B'Chag, Hilchos Pesach B'Pesach, Hilchos Atzeres B'Atzeres, Hilchos Chag B'Chag, which means Sukkis. So it sounds like not 30 days, it sounds like on the Yom Tov itself, that's when we have to be shoel V'Doresh, the Halachos of the Chag. So Beis Yosef himself gives three Tirutzim, Achronim give many, many more Tirutzim. Beis Yosef's first Tirutz is that when our Sugi says shoel and V'Dorshim 30 days in advance, it doesn't mean that you're chayiv to be shoel v'dorish. It means that if you have two talmidim that are shoel shailus, you have two talmidim that are asking questions. So the halacha is that you're supposed to maxer to the shoel ke'inyan before you answer the one who's shoel shalo ke'inyan. That if one to two talmidim are asking, but one of them is asking something that's on topic and the other one is asking something that's off topic, so you respond to the one who's asking on topic first. So that's what shoel v'dorish means. Shoel v'dorish means that within 30 days of Pesach, it's considered considered on topic. He's considered to be asking something that he gets kedima in getting an answer before people who are asking about other inyanim. Someone within 30 days of Pesach is asking about Hilchas Sukkos, so then you don't give him priority. But as far as what we do on the Yontif, that's a special takana that we need to actually change the curriculum of what we're learning. I could be in the middle of learning Maseches Sukkah, and Pesach comes on Pesach. I got to learn a little bit about Pesach. That's about a chiv to go out of our way to learn. That's one answer to the Beis Yosef. Another answer to the Beis Yosef is that Pesach, you need to know 30 days in advance because there's so many halachos. You have to be tochein the chitim and be mevar the chametz and know what is chametz and what's chametz nukshana. You know, we're about to go on a 4-month tour of Hilchos Pesach. There's a lot to learn. So we need 30 days in advance in order to be able to learn. With the Gemara Megillah, some of his other Yom Tovim. What is there to know about Shavuos? Shavuos is regular Hilchos Yom Tov. You learn Maseches Beitzah, you know everything there is to know about Shavuos. There's no Masechta for Shavuos. There's a Masechta called Shavuos, but that's not about the Yom Tov of Shavuos. So there's there's nothing about the Yom Tov itself. So when and even Sukkah says Beis Yosef, it's hard to make a Pasul Sukkah. I saw a couple this year, but it's hard to make a Pasul Sukkah. A Sukkah is Ganvach, a Sukkah is Rakvash is Kasher. Everything is going to be Kasher. It's hard to find the Pasul Esrog, says Beis Yosef. Wow, hard to find the Pasul Esrog. Hard to find the Pasul Lulav. They're all Kasher anyway. So yeah, you learn the halachas, but chances are you're going to find. So that's how the Beis Yosef Tainas that there's not much to learn when it comes to the other Yom Tov. And that's his second answer. His third answer, so that, meaning that this Gemara is only about Pesach, it's not about the other Yom Tov. His third answer is based on what the Gemara says in Maseches Avodah Zarah, that the reason we have to be Shol V'Dorish B'Hilchos Pesach, Shol Shnei Yom Lefnei Pesach, is because there's a special Korban associated with Pesach. And we have Korban Pesach, so in order that you have, that all Jews go out of their way to get their particular Korban Pesach, meaning there are Korbanos that are associated with every Chag, but it's one Korban brought on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael. It's a Korban at Tzibur. But Korban Pesach, every Jew has to make sure that they have a Korban Pesach that they register for. So because of the Dine Korban, why do we still do Shol and Vidarshin if it's only about the Korban? Okay, it's a Zeichel the Dover of what it used to be. Those are the three answers of the Beis Yosef. So says the Brichadash, if the Beis Yosef's first answer is correct, that it's all about Shoel Ke'inyan, who's considered a Shoel Ke'inyan, he says that there are those that say that on Purim, a person should start learning Hilchos Pesach because he's considered Shoel Ke'inyan, because Shol Shem Yom Kodem Achag includes Purim as well. So the Pri Chadash says that's not correct. He says, how could it be that if the whole Inyan is about Shoel Ke'inyan, that on Purim, someone who asks a Shaila in Hilchos Pesach calls Shoel Ke'inyan? No, it's Purim. How could it be? Shal Yom is Purim, it's not Pesach. And yet many of the Achronim disagree, and they have a raya from Beferish HaTosfos and Maseches Bechoros, that in fact, even on Purim, we start being Shoalin in Hilchos Pesach. Many Gedolei Yisrael had a practice that at their Purim Suda, they would take out a Shulchan Aruch and they would start learning Hilchos Pesach. Not make a whole Seder out of it, but learn a little bit of Hilchos Pesach to kick off the season of Shoalin V'Darshan of 30 days in advance. So we do have that inyan. So that's a discussion in the Achronim. Now, as far as the second teretz that since there are so many halachos of Pesach, so the Pnei Yeshua wonders that the Beis Yosef seems to have missed what Tosfos writes, that the Gemara says that not only on Purim that we don't dash in 30 days before halachos of Chag, but by Yom Tov we're sholem v'dorshin kodem shloshim yom, that it's Dafka by Purim. Tosfos writes that Dafka by Purim, we do not learn about the halachos 30 days in advance of Purim, but by Yom Tov we do. So says the Pnei Yeshua, by contrasting Purim with Yom Tov, sounds like all Yom Tov. It sounds like it's not just a din in Pesach. This is the very first Bir Halacha in Hilchos Pesach. There's a whole discussion about whether this Dafka a din in Hilchos Pesach or this is a din when it comes to all matters. So there's a major discussion in the Achronim. Okay, let's go weiter over here. So says Gemara, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer Shtei Shabbosos. We make such a big deal about Shloshim Yom. It's a machlokas. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says it's not Shloshim Yom. It's 2 weeks. My time in the Tanakama. Where does the Tanakama get the idea of Shloshim Yom? Shari Moshe Omid bePesach Rishon Umazel Pesach Sheni. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was standing there talking to Klal Yisrael on Pesach Rishon, and he was already being mazir them on Pesach Sheni. So in the Masifta they quote a Yalkut Hamiiri who says, how could the Gemara do this? calls him just Moshe, right? How did I just teach you that? The way every Magid Shari Bet translates this Gemara, Shari Moshe Omeid, because Moshe Rabbeinu was Omeid. It says Moshe, it doesn't call him Moshe Rabbeinu. How can you not call him Moshe Rabbeinu? It's an Ofna Halacha and Shulchan Aruch and Siman Reish Mem Beis and Yaradeya. You're not allowed to mention Shem Rabbo Afilu Shalom Befanav without the Torah, without the title of Rabbeinu. So okay, some say based on what Chazal tell us that Gadol Me Rabban Shemo, that the greatest kavod you can give to someone is just by calling them their name, right? That's the madrigals of Tanoim, right? Some of the Tanoim were on a higher level than other time, or even Amorayim and Tanoim. So you have Rav is someone who didn't have smicha, Rabbi is someone who had the smicha, and Rabban is a higher level than Rabbi, and greater than Rabban, than Rabban Gamliel, or, right? Greater than that is Shammai. Hillel, right? Gadol Me Rabban Shemo. Even a higher than Rabban is just the name. So maybe that's why the Gemara just calls him Moshe. Okay, Shari Moshe, but we still always call him Moshe Rabbeinu. Sorry, Moshe Omri Pesach Rishon, Masi Ala Pesach Sheni. Rav Soloveitchik used to had a comment about that Moshe was called Moshe Rabbeinu. You could have called him anything in terms of he was the king of the Jewish people, he was the leader of the Jewish people, he was the one who brought us freedom, he was the one, and yet the greatest title was that he was the teacher of the Jewish people. Rabbeinu means that he was a Malamed, that he taught Torah. So Rav Soloveitchik said that when people ask him, what does he do? He says, I'm a Malamed. So he's a Rav of Boston, he's the Rosh Yeshiva, he's a Malamed. He said, I'm not saying that mitochani. I think that's the greatest title a person could have. I think Moshe, we call Moshe Rabbeinu. It's the greatest title a person could have. So Shari Moshe on Pesach Rishon, Masel Pesach Sheni. And he was on Pesach Rishon, he was talking about Pesach Sheni. Shenemar, Vayas Bnei Yisrael Sa Pesach Bimoado. Uksiv, Vayenoshim Anoshim Asher Hayu Tameim Lenefesh Adam. So he starts talking about what happens if people are Tamei. Tulsa says, wait a second. He was only being Masel Pesach Sheni because they asked him. People said, well, what are we going to do? We're Tamei. Oh, man, we're not going to be able to bring Pesach Rishon. So he had to answer. So Tosus writes in the second Tosus, Avgav Shalidei She'elasu Uskak Lomer Lehen, even though he had to answer them because they asked him, Mikol Makom Lo Yitzorich Laharich Ela Al Tasu Pesach V'sulo. All he had to tell them at the moment was, you're not bringing Karm Pesach. And then later he could have informed them that there's such an Inyan called Pesach Sheni. That's how you see that it's all about Sholem V'dorshim, because it wasn't just that he told them what they needed to know. He said, I'm glad you asked that question, because we should be discussing that, right? So once he says, I'm glad you asked that question, and he gets into all discussion, then that's a raya. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel amar lach, I did die Rabbi Mili de Pischa, Maskel, who called Mili de Pischa. No, the only reason he discusses Pesach Sheni and Pesach Rishon is because he's already discussing in Yonim of Pesach, so he discusses all in Yonim of Pesach. My time in Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, where does Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel get the idea that it's 2 weeks? Shari Moshe, be Rosh Chodesh, who Maskel, la Pesach, because Moshe Rabbeinu was standing there on Rosh Chodesh, and he was teaching them about the halachos of Pesach. So that's 2 weeks in advance. Shneim arachodesh zelchem rosh chadashim uksiv dabru al kaladas yisrael lemor ba'asul chadashav yuklem yisrael beis avos. And he told them, and now on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, he was telling them about what it's going to take to bring a carbon Pesach. Well, the pasuk just says Hachodesh Zelchem Rosh Chodeshim, that it's in the first month of the year in Nisan. How do I know that it was on Rosh Chodesh Nisan that Moshe Rabbeinu was talking? Maybe it was on the fourth day of Nisan or the fifth day of Nisan that he was talking. So Ella Amar Rabba Bar Simi Mishmei Deravina Mehacha Vayedaber Hashem LeMoshe B'Midbar Sinai B'Shana Hashenis B'Chodesh Harishon Uksiv Hayasu Bnei Yisrael Asa Pesach B'Moado. That here he was in Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and he started talking about Karm Pesach. What says Gemara Hachanami? It doesn't say Rosh Chodesh Nisan. It just says it was in the first month. That's why the Ramban al Torah, by the way, on that pasuk Chodesh Zelachem Rosh Chodeshim, tells us that there's an Isser to count any other month as the first month. That's why some of the poskim suggest, I think the Chasam Sofer writes, that when you write a check, you shouldn't write in January. You shouldn't write one, because you're not allowed to count anything else as the first month other than Chodesh Nisan. So by putting that as the first month, of course there are problems in either direction, because all the names of the secular months are all named after Avodah Zarah. So some are makbid dafka not to write the names of the months because it's writing the shame of Avodah Zarah. Others are makbid not to write the numbers because it's a violation of Chodashim. Bottom line is you got to write checks at some point. Well, I guess not anymore, but it used to be that you have to write checks. So Ksiv Yasub Nei Yisrael Pesach Mo'ado. So Hachanami Ma'ad Reish Yarchu Kai Dumba Bar Ba Biyarchu B'Chamisha Biyarchu Kai. So Amrav Nachmer Yitzchak Asya Midbar Mi Midbar Ksiv Hacha B'Midbar Sinai. It says b'midbar Sinai over here. Ksiv hasam b'idaber Hashem Moshe b'midbar Sinai b'olam oed. Be'echad lachodesh hasheni, on the first day of the second month. So mala halan Rosh Chodesh, just like where it said b'midbar Sinai over there, it clearly was Rosh Chodesh. Afkan Rosh Chodesh. So to over here, when it talks about the first month, it's also must be when it says midbar Sinai, so must be referring to Rosh Chodesh. So it says more v'nichtav bereishit chodesh rishon v'adnichtav chodesh sheni. That's so strange. Look at these two psukim. These two psukim are from different places, and one of them is talking about the second month. One of them is talking about the first month. But they're out of order. The one that talks about the second month comes first, and the one that talks about the first month comes second. Why is that? This is the principle that we have, that ain mukta mu'ukhar b'Torah, that the Torah is not written in chronological order. Why is the Torah not written in chronological order? So the Rishonim struggle with this a little bit, meaning wouldn't it have been less confusing if the Torah were written in chronological order? So the Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz quotes from Rabbeinu Yechiel that we don't understand the full impact of Kedushas HaTorah. Tiltel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Parshio Shel Torah Shelo Yehi Adam Korei Parsha Katana. Whoa, the power that would come if we had the Torah in order would be that a person would be able to just read a Parsha Katana and you'd be able to make golems all over the place and you'd be able to create whatever he wants to create. It's too much power. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to minimize the koach of our ability to access the full Kedushas HaTorah. In Tosos Chachmei Anglia, the quotes from the Yerushalmi, that no, it's so that a Kohen shouldn't be Miskoya, that he gets the first Aliyah. He says, I got the earlier thing. No, ain't mukta mukha b'Torah. Maybe you didn't really get the first. I don't know. It's hard to understand what that means. The Bali Machshava have deeper understandings of ain't mukta mukha b'Torah. You know, al pimusr. They say that there's no such thing as a person. You know, sometimes a person is later on in life and they never really took advantage of learning opportunities earlier in life. So they think that it's too late to start learning. What am I going to accomplish anyway? It's too late to start learning. Ain't mukta mukha b'Torah. There's no coming too early or too late. You can always engage in Torah and accomplish in Torah, but that's not what the Gemara means, obviously, but it's a nice idea. So Amar Papa, Lo Amar and El Betrayin Yani. This idea of Ein Mukta Mukhar B'Torah is only when it comes to two different inyanim. Aval b'chad inyana, but when it's on one topic, ma'idu mukta mukta, ma'idu mukha merucha, then it is in fact written in order. Ti lote ma'achi, because if you don't say that, klalu prat ein b'chalal mashar prat, dilma pratu klalhu. The midrash Torah and Drash Ben rely on the order that they're written, because we say, if the Torah says the klal first and then the prat, it means one thing, but if it says the prat first and then the klal, it means something else. But if ein mukta mukha b'torah, then maybe a klal or prat is really a prat or klal. In the other direction as well. Says Mara, then even if it's in two inyanim, shouldn't it have to be in the correct order? See, if you're going to say that whenever they're distanced from each other, we're anyway not allowed to darshan al klal prat, so then I understand why in Trey and Yani there's no mukta mumuchar, because you can't darshan al klal prat anyhow from one to the place to the next. But if you say that when they're maru from each other, when they're distant from each other, you are able to darshan al klal prat. So ma'ikal lemeimar, how can we darshan al klal prat? Ain mukta mukhar b'Torah. Says Mar, afilu ma'ad yom danin hani mili b'chad inyana. Al betray inyani ain danin. Even if you hold that you're allowed to dan al klal prat that are muruchak in zamizeh, that's only if it's on one inyan, if it's on the same topic. But when it's tray inyani, when it's two separate topics, then we say ain mukta mukhar b'Torah. Rav Elchanan raises the question in Kovitz Shiurim over here. He says, what's the raya from the fact that we darshan al klal prat that be'inyan echad there must be an order, otherwise you would never be able to darshan al kal prat? HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that he was writing the Torah and he knew what order he was giving the Torah in, so he implanted the kal prat in the order that he gave it, not in the order that ein mukta mukha. Doesn't that just mean that the Torah is not written in chronological order? It doesn't mean that it's random, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu just took a bunch of words and threw them up in the air and wherever they landed, meaning there was a kavana in why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu in this specific way. So says Rav Elchanan, why does this fly in the face of the notion of klal uprat? So Rav Elchanan suggests that you have to say that each mitzvah in the Torah Shebitzav was given to Moshe Rabbeinu together with its Torah Shebal Peh based on the Midrash Shatorah Nidrash Ben. So when you dash in klal uprat, it means that Moshe Rabbeinu was given with that klal uprat that part of the Torah before he ever had the mitzvah to write the Torah, before Moshe Rabbeinu was ever was ever commanded to write down the Torah. So if it was given to Moshe Rabbeinu in the way that it was darshaned with the Klal Prat, it has to be that Be'inyan Echad, there's Seder, and we don't say Ein Muktam Umuchar B'Torah, because Moshe Rabbeinu didn't yet know the order with which he was supposed to write it. So it had to be that that it was given with Klal Prat. Still difficult. Rav Shlomo Zalman points out that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew what order he was going to give it to him, why couldn't he give it to him with the Klal Prat, even if we say Ein Muktam Umuchar B'Torah? Very difficult to understand. Says Gemara a little bit vital. Let's read a little bit further. Amar Rabbi Yudah Rav, Habodik Sarek Sheyevatel. If a person does Bidika, he also needs to do Bitul Chametz. My time, why do I have to do Bitul Chametz? Bidika means Bidika and Biur. I get rid of everything. What's the point of Bitul? So, Inei Mishum Pirurin, if you can say that, oh, well, when you do Bidika, you're not going to find all the little crumbs. Halach Hashivi, the crumbs are not Chashiv, it doesn't matter. There's no Bayer Rabbi Matsi on crumbs. V'chit Heim, Akim, the Mintalu, Agav Beise Hashivi, you're going to tell me, no, they are Chashiv because I'm watching them, I'm guarding them with my house. When I lock the front door of my house, I'm locking the crumbs in my house as well. If it's the end of the Te'enim season, and I don't really care about the Te'enim that are still in the field because it's the end of the season, they're not good Te'enim anyway. I'm only watching the field because of the grapes that are there. Or it's the end of the grape season and I'm watching the field for the next crop that's growing in. So when the Balabais is makbid about those fruits that are growing at the end of their season, then it's chayiv mishum gezel, you're not allowed to steal it, and it's chayiv and meiser, it's not considered hefker. But if he's not makbid on it, even though he's protecting his field on account of the new crop that's growing in, you're allowed to take it. It's not gezel. So we don't assume that if you're protecting your house and there happen to be crumbs in your house, that the crumbs therefore become chashiv. You don't care about them, you don't care about them. So that brings us back to the question of why it is that if a person does bidika and biur, he also has to do a bitul. So Amar Rava, Rava gives answer number two, gzeira shemi yimsa gluska yafa vidaite lave. That the concern is that a person might find, he might miss something, he might find a nice piece of chametz, and then he'll have dust to reacquire it, and that's going to be the problem. That's why we also do bittul in order to account for that possibility. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up from there, and okay, have a wonderful Shabbos, everybody. Oh, yeah.